chapter of the book of Genesis, the first seven verses. I would think that this is going to be a passage that is familiar to probably just about everyone in one form or another. It is the first of which I sometimes in Bible study like to point out that if you take your Bible, this is the page that tells us when human beings got it right. And this is the part that tells us what happens next. So this is the transition. This is actually the story of the gateway through which we navigate that change. So listen in it and listen what God says to us today. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat the fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." The serpent said to the woman, "You will not die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. Then she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were open. They realized they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together to make coverings for themselves. The word of the Lord. Let's pray with me. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts together, be acceptable, even pleasing in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This morning we start our Lent preaching series, Failings of the Faithful. And the idea is that during this Lent season, each Sunday and then a follow-up conversation on Wednesday, will highlight a biblical character that made a mistake of some kind, that got it wrong, that failed to live up to what they were supposed to do. And we will then hopefully learn from their stories. Today we literally start at the beginning. Eve, the first woman and the second human to walk the earth. And when we started this series, when we began planning, Michael and I actually had a significant conversation about whether you include Eve in a series called The Faithful. Is Eve a person of faith? On the one hand, history has been hard on Eve. Probably 99% of people only know about Eve, her unfaithful moment. Her name is only in the Bible four times. Three of them are about her disobedience. And the other one, though, is after she's born her first child, she gives thanks, saying, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Again, later, after having a child, she says, "God has granted me another child." And that does, I think, speak to a kind of ongoing awareness of God, maybe a relationship. Throughout history, Eve has generally not been portrayed favorably. She's usually pictured, painted as a kind of temptress, seducing Adam, luring poor innocent Adam to the dark side. In pictures, she's often seen with a snake coiled around her and kind of a coy look on her face. There's really no doubt that the interpretation of her story has been pretty sexist. You rarely hear Adam blamed for eating the fruit. You always hear Eve blamed for it. And recently, some have tried to balance that out. I have a Bible dictionary where I can look up various characters, and there are articles that are fairly late scholarship, fairly modern. And the one on Eve includes these words: "As a spokesperson for the human couple, a departure from patriarchy, she replies to the devious question of the serpent. She shows intelligence and thoughtfulness as she ponders the wholesome possibilities that the fruit offers. Then, behaving like a faithful wife, she gives it to her husband. throughout the scene, the strong, active, and independent role of the woman contrasts with the weak, passive, and acquiescent role of the man. Now, I'm on board defending Eve, but that's a little biased. That goes too far. The point of the story, though, is not that a woman messed up. If we read Genesis 3 and we think that's what it tells us, we haven't read it right. The point of the story is that humans are inherently disobedient. On the other hand, you know those pictures that are given under the caption, "You had one job"? It's a picture of something that looks simple, but it's clearly messed up. And that became a slogan of sorts. And there's a collection of pictures. There's even a daily calendar available. Let me give you an idea of some of what we mean. You had one job. Okay? S-O-T-P. And this one cracks me up because they even had a stop sign next to them to look at. Okay? Unfortunate. Tough riding in that right-hand lane with the posts. Might be hard to see. Those are hamburger buns, a hot dog bag. Live catfish. Cheese sort of burger, okay? Switch the sides. Got it? Okay, there you go. You should know that's not Asia. Okay, good. Okay. I don't know if you can see this. Each cake says happy birthday on both. And I think my favorite, you had one job, custodian, put the trash can in a different place so it doesn't look like this is where you throw your babies away. Well, I looked at some of those, and a thought occurred to me. You know, you could probably easily make one for Eve. You could put a bite out of an apple and say, "You had one job, Eve." But, of course, the internet beat me to it. A couple more, I think. Don't eat the fruit. That's all you had to do. Of course, it doesn't help that the forbidden tree is right there in the middle of the garden. You have to walk past it every day. And of course, it doesn't help that we learn to covet what we see most often. It certainly doesn't help to be told there's only one thing you can't do. There's only one tree off limits. Tell a child they can have anything for lunch except something. And what do they want? Tell an adult that they can eat mostly whatever they want, just cut down on sugar or fat or salt, and what do they crave? Tell the first humans on earth they can eat any fruit but one, and then ask them, "What do you want for dinner?" You know where this is going. Worse still, the crafty serpent shows up. Why Eve is talking with the serpent, we don't know. The lesson there is, you know, walk with people who are going to help you go the right direction. But the serpent asks a question, which raises questions about the goodness of God, and it's not a good path. Did God really tell you you can't eat any fruit? And Eve says, no, just one tree. Notice how the serpent shines a light. He gets Eve to do it for him. Shines a light on the one thing she can't do. But she even adds, don't touch it. That's not in the instructions. The snake laughs. No, you won't die. God is playing you. God doesn't want you to become like him. God knows if you eat it, you'll know good and evil. Unfortunately, it never occurs to Eve to ask herself, well, why would I want to know evil when I already know good? And if you listen to the text, there's not a timeline given for how long this takes, whether it's a moment, whether it's an afternoon, whether it's a day, whether it's a week, a year. But it almost sounds like she's tempted in stages. When she saw that it was good for food, and she saw that it was pleasing to the eye, and she saw that it was desirable for gaining wisdom, you can almost hear the soundtrack in Eve's mind. Well, you can eat it. It does look good. How can gaining wisdom be a bad thing? You can almost hear her talking herself into it. And with the snake happily watching, she takes the fruit, she eats it, she hands it to her husband who was with her, I guess, and their eyes are open. Which sounds like a good thing, but it isn't, because now they have guilt. Now they see shame. Now they see their own path, and when they see God, they feel fear, which they hadn't before. It's not too hard, I think, for most of us to understand how Eve got there. In fact, it is so easy for me, it convinces me that the story really isn't intended to be about Eve at all. It's not about her being a woman. It's not about the snake being crafty or the husband being absent. This story is about me, about us, our innate tendency, our stubborn willfulness to push back against God. Sometimes pictures of this text show an apple or a pomegranate or some other fruit, but the simple truth, it's not about what grows on the tree at all. It's about whatever appeals to you more than being obedient. It's about whatever you want more than whatever God wants for you. Maybe that's money. Maybe that's security. Maybe it's success or leisure or happiness. It can be anything. It wasn't the fruit that opened Eve's eyes to evil. It was picking it. It was eating it. It was disobeying God's clear word. It was going her own way for her own reasons. Possibly then even sharing her sin so that she wouldn't be alone in disobedience. Turns out that's a story I know well, and I suspect maybe you do as well. Seeing temptation. Thinking about it. Walking past it over and over again. Slowly having it go to work on your mind and your heart. Talking yourself into it. Listening to that voice in your ear. Doesn't God want me to be happy? It's not that bad. It won't hurt anyone. Nobody's going to know. Isn't it unfair not to have what you want? Until there you are, standing in the middle of the garden with a bite out of the forbidden fruit and no way to put it back. The lingering aftertaste of guilt and shame. I think of all the stories this Lent that we'll be looking at together, this might be the easiest one to see ourselves. Does Eve trust God? Yeah, she probably does. She certainly would say yes if you asked her. Does Eve love God? I suspect she probably does. Is Eve grateful and does she give thanks? She seems to. Then where does it go wrong? Well, here a map of the garden might help us. Remember where the forbidden tree is. It says God put it in the middle of the garden. It's right there in the center. So where does Eve have to be to get the fruit in the center? It's interesting that the middle of the garden is the place, the only place it seems, where Adam and Eve have to decide, is it my way or God's way? What happens when we put ourselves in the middle? When we make it about us? We get it wrong. We are more tempted and less obedient. Maybe above all else, Eve's story shows us what happens when our eyes leave God and land on something else. When we look to something else, someone else, anything else to give us meaning, to give us importance, to give us life, to give us purpose. When we listen to the wrong voices and we put ourselves in the center. When we take what we know isn't ours to take. When we do what we know we shouldn't do. When we make our own rules and the excuses that go with them so we can do what we want. It doesn't end well. It didn't for Eve, but it's not just her story. It's our story too. Our one job is to be faithful, which is no easy task, but harder still when what we want, whatever the latest fruit that catches our eye and our heart, overshadows what God wants of us and for us. It's not Eve's eyes that get her in trouble. It's not her hands or her taste buds. It's her heart. She's not hungry. She's hungry for the wrong thing. She has an appetite for self. She's wanting what God said she doesn't need and shouldn't do. She does it anyway with me at the middle. I want to make my own rules and, in the words of the serpent, be like God. For each of us, I suspect there's something that grows very near the center of our garden that tempts us. Some fruit that whispers to us that we need it, that we deserve it, that we should have it. Something we want more than we want to be obedient to God. Every day, we have to make a choice like Eve made. And we try to get right what Eve got wrong. Every day, we make those choices about who or what will be in the center. And whenever it isn't Christ, we are in real danger of getting it wrong. Maybe the thing we learn from Eve's failure is that being faithful, above all else, simply means keeping the right thing in the center and keeping the wrong thing out of our hearts. As we move through this Lenten season, as we move toward the one who gave himself for us, may we struggle every day to let our choices reflect the cross at the middle of our faith and the faith at the middle of our lives. Amen.